It's July 30th, 2009, and this episode is rated E for everyone.
And I'm Chris Remo.
I'm Nick Brecken.
And this is Idle Thumbs 26. 35.
And you're Jake Rodkin.
36.
36.
Yes.
And I'm Jake Rodkin.
And we're trying this again.
Yes,
we
are.
You haven't heard the first one yet.
No.
You might soon. So we're warning you now, because I think we forgot to actually append a warning to that one. We went wrong the first time.
Oh, no. There's a prepended...
Oh, is there?
Is that a word?
Sure.
There's a pre-announcement saying, what you're about to hear may contain dicks. And so, yeah, we went off the rails earlier this week, which is why this one's coming out a little late. So... For everyone who always asks to hear the horrible abominations
that we throw away,
because yes, sometimes we come back and say, sometimes we've shown up late in the week saying, we apologize that a horrible thing happened. This time we might release it, and you will cry.
Eat
possibly.
Up our garbage.
You will eat our garbage. Can a video game make you cry? Yes. Can a video game podcast make you cry? You'll find out in a couple of days if we bother.
Yeah. We'll try.
Spoiler, so we're back.
There's some stuff in there that's worth, because there's some games we're probably not going to talk about again on today's.
Unfortunately.
Like Mr. Eats or whatever.
Eats and, well, Dragon Age and...
Well,
and...
Research and Development.
Research and Development. Yeah, people keep asking us to talk about that.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate.
Should we relegate
that's unfortunate
that they
have to wade through our sea of garbage to get to that little nugget.
We can safely say Research and Development is a great mod.
Yes.
So if you own Half-Life 2 Episode 2, go check out the mod Research and Development.
Definitely.
If you want to hear a more in-depth opinion, you must dig through a swimming pool full of feces.
Get ready for that. Coming soon.
Yep.
Now that we've sufficiently freaked you out over this hypothetical future content that may or may not exist.
Hopefully that means it's not that bad now. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. We're setting you up for the worst. It'll just be the second worst.
It's second.
I think we're making it sound more exciting. I think people who are listening to this, like, after that one has been released are probably going to stop listening to this now and immediately go to that.
Yeah, it's just a regular podcast, but we keep talking about stuff.
It's just full of poo.
It's just, anyway.
Yeah.
So what's up? We love video games.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do.
Video games?
Yeah.
You guys been checking out any video games?
In the last 2 days?
Yeah.
Well, before we get into that, I want to... before I talk about video games, let's talk about something totally different.
Let's derail.
No, I want to talk about Electronic Arts, because I was listening into their shareholders meeting today, which is something I used to always cover at Shaq News, you know, every year. They do it once a year. And I was going to cover it for Gamma Sutra, and I didn't end up actually writing a story on it, and this is why. So it's 2 o'clock, you know, we call in on the phone there listening to EA shareholder meetings down at their actual headquarters in Redwood Shores. John Riccitiello is giving, you know, the CEO is giving the address. He's listing off all the executives who are there with him. They're all going to present this thing. He goes in a little spiel about their fiscal results in the recently. And he's, you know, we had a tough first half last year, good first half last year, tough second half. And he, you know, talks about kind of what they didn't do right, what they did do right. You know, how many games they've got high Metacritics and how many great IPs they've created recently. And it kind of gives a standard pitch and then kind of just moves right on to what they're doing in the upcoming year and then questions. And so, you know, after all, it's been like 10 minutes. It's a really short presentation. And he goes right into questions. And so he opens it up and first guy comes up and this guy basically gets up there and he's like, hello there. Well, I got to say, in the past... I look forward to these meetings every year because they were really fun. You had some great game demos. It was pretty exciting. And I just got to say, the previous guy, the old CEO, he did a much better job making it fun. And ever since you've taken over, just keeps every year, just gets shorter and shorter and less fun. So I got to know what you're going to do about that. And John Riccitiello is just like, well... You know, we do these via audio for most people, so we don't really see the point in putting a bunch of videos up there and game demos. And, like, you can go to our site, and we have lots of videos, and you can watch them there.
Secret reveal.
Anytime you want.
Shareholders might be the web forum for a company, possibly.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They really are. And so... it's like, he's like, doesn't know what to say. You know, you're like, well, that's it. You know, they're short. We don't really feel the need to drag it on. You can go on the internet and watch videos. And then the guy's like, okay, well, I don't see anyone behind me, so I'm just going to keep asking more questions. Is that okay? And Rickatel is like, oh, I guess, yeah, okay, go ahead.
Do people on the phone get to answer, do Q&As as well? Or is
I think so, but no one did, I guess. I think people are waiting for the actual, like, real fiscal results on Friday. This was just the shareholder meeting. It wasn't the actual, full-on analyst thing.
It wasn't, the financial conference call.
Yeah, it wasn't the actual people who have real questions about actual important things. It's the people who, like, I own 3 shares of EA, and I'm going to come spout my mouth or whatever. And so this guy's like, well, I don't see anyone behind me, so I'm just going to ask some more questions. Rickatel is like, all right, fine. And so he goes on. He's like, just wanted to say, I wanted to commend you for not buying Take-Two last year. That would have cost a lot of money. And you saved the company lots of money. And I appreciate that. And he goes on for like 5 minutes with his whole like moral thing about how great it was that they didn't buy Take-Two. And then he's like, so why didn't you buy them? And Rickatel is like, well, you know, I don't know. We were pretty public about it. Like, we had a very specific time frame and per share cost. And Take-Two management didn't agree with that. So we didn't do it. We said that's what we wanted and they didn't do it. He's like, well, it's great. Saved a lot of money. Good job. And I got another question here. And and this guy, he just goes on. It was the most baffling thing ever. And
you were saying that there were like 12 executives up on the panel?
Yeah, there are all these people he's going through. And he's like, yeah, we got, you know, Peter Moore, EA Sports. We got Rod Humble, EA Play. We got this guy. He's going and listening. And he starts getting into like CFO and like accountant and like chief counsel and all these roles. He's got all these billions of people. And like the only person who asks anything the whole time is this one dude who just gets up there. It's like, well, this is my opinion on this.
What I want is the artist's rendering of this. The courtroom sketch of the guy at the mic alone, nobody else in the audience, and then just like 16 executives just slumped over in their chairs, right. Kind of like
what
drooling.
I want is how many dollars did that fucking shareholder cost all the other shareholders, like cost that company, where it's like, here is like the pantheon of six-figure
none of
executives
them are doing their jobs
all right. Sitting there listening to this dude for a half hour, like that, like my whole salary might have gone away in that guy's Q&A session.
Yeah It was pretty epic. And so anyway, he gets to the end and he's like, anyway, that's all my questions. Thanks. And then Rickatel is like, anyone else? All right, no? All right, we're done. And then it immediately cuts it like, the whole music. Yeah. Oh my God, it was hysterical.
Oh, man. That's amazing.
The EA shareholders meeting is always one of the highlights of my news.
Your
like,
gear.
There have been some great ones in the past. Like there was the, I was talking about telling Nick about this earlier back at Shaq when I was there. I wrote one up one year that was like, some guy gets up there and EA had bought Mythic Entertainment, the company that makes Warhammer Online. And this guy gets up there and he's like, so now that you've bought Warcraft, are we going to be seeing way more profits now? And Rigatello was just like, no, we bought Mythic Entertainment. They make Warhammer, but we really think that's going to be a great game. So we're really looking forward to that.
It is a web forum.
Yeah. And then this other guy, I don't remember who's the same year or not, he gets up and he's like, I'm just wondering, will there be any gifts?
Yeah, and I think we've talked about this.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think we have, yeah. And this guy just basically wanted free food and gifts. He's basically a game journalist, presumably. So.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Ta-da!
So that was funny.
That's why things are the way they are.
Yeah. I won't get it up in time for the downloadable content thread, but I do want to get some transcription of this latest call up there, because it's pretty hilarious and I don't think anyone else listens to this shit or covers it,
because who cares?
Yeah, I know.
Because all they're going to be covering is, excuse me, I was told there would be a game demo at this shareholders meeting.
They had shrimp last year.
The best thing about this guy is he was talking about how he was charting the year, but it's like every year gets a little bit shorter and a little bit less fun.
You're nowhere near as fun as the last guy.
Yeah, I know. I love that the last CEO. Are you kidding?
You think I guess his job is like, all right,
it's like the camp counselor.
I'm really stressing over the shareholders meeting.
Is it going to wow them?
We got to get some sweet demos.
Don't forget the treats and the gifts. Treats, gifts, and demos. Yeah. Successful company. That's the recipe.
So
that happened. Anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
I want to go to the next one.
Yeah, I know. Physically. Actually attend.
Yeah, I have like 6 shares of EA.
Do you? Yeah. Nice. See?
Yeah. I'm going. You're a shareholder.
Yeah, I'm bringing s'mores.
Did you notice that Nick wasn't signed on to AIM during the shareholders meeting? He was, he was listed as away.
Yep.
Nick. I own 6 shares.
I want treats.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So that happened, I guess.
Yeah.
What else happened?
There was an Epic Mickey.
Oh, yeah. There's the Epic Mickey thing. Yeah. Some more artwork of this got out. This was a game that I think we talked about on the podcast before because Gamma Sutra, we reported on it last year.
Yeah.
And didn't actually release any of the concept art. I don't remember why, but we had a bunch of concept art and we didn't put it out there.
That's a good choice.
Well, I mean, we described it, but I think I don't know. There was some issue where we just didn't
post it.
We decided not because it was leaked. You know what I mean? I think we just decided not to make it public. But someone else did today or this week. So
was it the same stuff?
Yeah, some of the same stuff and then some other stuff.
I thought that stuff was official. Enough of the internet posted it.
It was definitely leaked.
Just a dude.
Well, I think some of it was leaked and then some of it was just a guy's unprotected resume.
Yes.
It was not ever intended to be publicly released. But this is the game that Warren Spector is you know, allegedly making at Disney. And it's some crazy like steampunk Mickey Mouse adventure thing. I don't know. It's pretty crazy. Some of the art is awesome and some of it is horrible. Like the horrible, like mutant, like doom,
right.
Mutant, like video game.
The Krang
crap.
Monster with the.
The what?
The Krang?
Wait, Kang.
From Ninja Turtles?
Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, that's Krang.
Krang. Yeah. Yeah, there's like a.
Oh, it's the brain. The sort of sentient brain that lives inside a giant robot man.
Yeah,
it lives in his chest.
Like he's Metroid? Got spider legs, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Except this has a goofy head and like Jafar the torso
and like
or
Jafar
something.
And the torso. Yeah.
Jafar's face is just sort of like
wait. So
it is
a Krang with Jafar's face instead of Krang,
more or less. Yeah.
What they need to do is turn Jafar's head upside down like the Doom, like the Doom.
All right,
skull
the Doom
spider.
3 skull. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put 2 machine guns on his shoulders.
Yeah. but the actual like that crazy like Pinocchio whale plus or
yeah,
I guess that's what it
Epcot.
Was plus yeah plus the crumbling Epcot
like on the Death
that
Star
was pretty
Epcot.
Awesome
yeah
like that was a like to see that in a game if it was rendered nicely would be pretty awesome
yeah yep. Except this is on the
it
Wii,
might be a Wii game
right
is yeah. It a Wii game
yeah.
Oh
that's the rumor anyway yeah
not to be forum asshole but I don't know
I know that's
well,
actually
I mean, that's,
really
that's,
depressed me
like,
this morning because there was the artist listed it on his thing as a Wii game
is that what it is because I keep like people like. Was that, that's like, this game is like anti-announced, right? This doesn't exist.
Right. Well, the one thing, I think.
Disney has never commented on this.
So, I mean.
I think what Warren Spector said, though, was that fans might call him some kind of a sellout. And I think that may be what he was referring to. Is the fact
I thought it was referring to the fact that he's making a game with Mickey Mouse.
That's what I thought he was referring to, yeah.
And Warren Spector does not consider Mickey Mouse cool.
Right. Well, I think Warren Spector does.
But yeah, I think he might think that fans.
He thinks other people don't. Because he was saying how much. How excited he was to make! He was so excited.
Make an Epic Mickey.
It's like, yeah, oh my god, I'm going
to
be making.
I don't know.
Disney
it's hard
thing.
To look at that concept art and say you're selling out. I mean, that's pretty hard.
No, I think it's cool.
It's no, I'm just saying like,
some of it's cool.
It's really hard to look at that concept art and think we.
I
agree.
Well,
with
and
that.
I was looking at that stuff like the Epcot in the distance and going, you know, God, that's going
like,
to be a flat,
like,
ugly
that,
texture
yeah, that,
on the
that
Wii.
That that's, piece yeah. of concept art is like the entirety of like. Like just what a Wii can fill per frame, I think. I mean, if that's all moving around and stuff,
yeah,
that's a bold.
Yeah,
I suppose they could cut corners and do some kind of 2D, 3D.
Oh,
thing,
you can
right?
always cut corners. I mean, I also feel like if, I mean,
yeah,
it seems weird for Disney to put a game out for only
that was
the Wii.
What?
I mean, maybe this guy whose resume was posted is working at like the satellite studio who was doing the Wii port. Was he? I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question.
That's
I don't know.
I feel like, oh, no, it was Junction Point. He did say
okay,
Junction Point.
I don't know. I feel like, given that nothing is actually known about this game, it would be amusing for the internet to know things about it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I also feel like it would be a strange move to put on the Wii and go for that audience specifically because
I know.
I feel like the Mickey Mouse character is one that sort of just like in sort of untouched, like very more traditional Mickey Mouse form.
Mm-hmm.
The only real audience that has any significant wide resonance with at this point, I imagine, would be kids or fairly old, like adults
older
who are
adults,
old enough
yeah.
to like. Because he's not used as he's
no.
not used in any feature level animation these days.
Kids
he's not
aren't
used,
like, hey Mickey, they're
yeah,
they're like, hey Buzz Lightyear.
As far
whatever,
as games, he's only used
like
in kids
Nemo.
Games, really,
or Kingdom
like,
Hearts.
Or yeah. Kingdom Hearts, but that's, you know, that's the gaming audience mainly.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
And adolescents. I mean, it's
becoming
I mean,
a nostalgia
I think
thing
those
at this point.
Right.
The people I think who are interested in Kingdom Hearts, but maybe I was going to say something rude against people who like Japanese RPGs accidentally. I don't know. I don't like them. but I mean, I think that game sort of shows that just people who are sort of familiar enough with the sort of Disney iconography to be interested in seeing it sort of presented in a new way or subverted. Well, those are the people who would be interested in a game like this, I think.
It's a dark twist on Mickey as well.
A dark twist.
Yeah. But oh, I mean, Jesus. Well, but also...
More predictable.
Yeah. but yeah, I mean, like, as a going for that Wii audience, that, like, you know, I mean, it's not like an E for everyone game, is it?
I mean, it probably will be rated that way, but it's
maybe.
I mean, I don't think it'll have
like,
bloody,
that's a zombie, it has, like, bloody that shambling goofy robot.
It's, yeah,
that's pretty hideous.
I don't think they're gonna put any gore or anything into it. I just mean the tone of the game is just, you know, it seems odd.
You didn't see the concept art where Mickey Mouse was spraying particle blood from his eyes and sort of flailing around like a happy Kermit the Frog.
It just seems like something to me that would be successful, or at least as successful on a you know, on the 360, and it's too bad if it's limited in terms of its art, but you know,
I bet it's not.
Yeah,
you think it's not?
I think there's no limits. No, I think that I think that it would strike me as crazy to make that a multi-platform or a not multi-platform game unless Disney is sort of just expecting it to be super niche or burying it. I mean
Disney has been pretty gung-ho lately about putting, I mean, I don't think Buena Vista exists anymore, but putting the stuff that wouldn't traditionally have fallen into Buena Vista, like really focusing on Nintendo platforms recently. Like they've got all their, like, that specific brand that they put on the Wii and the DS, and they keep talking about how they're establishing all these publishing initiatives on the Wii and all this stuff. It feels like that's really where their focus is right now, you know, aside from like Turok and stuff like that.
Right.
So I don't know.
All right.
I mean, who knows if this game's even still in active development.
Yeah,
it's there's been more.
That was one thing that people pointed out is that, I saw some comments that were like, "Yeah, leaks like this mean a couple things, and one of the things that they could mean is that this game is no longer in production."
That's what I said
this
morning.
This artist is looking for a job somewhere else, and so he's showing new employers.
The thing is the resume update was in June, and he said, "I'm now at Junction Point working on this game for the Wii." So
June last month.
Yeah, last month.
So some of that art was new.
Well, yeah, apparently, yeah.
Huh. Weird. Yeah. Most of it we'd definitely seen before.
Yeah.
Huh, that's interesting.
I think there was one artist and then there was another that did some sort of black and white sketches and things. But
one of them definitely was the one who did all, like, there was all the ridiculous character concepts that are stupid. That was definitely one guy.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I didn't like those, in case I didn't. that whole thing is so common in video game concept art. This just like, let's smash a bunch of different characters together and it'll be really disturbing and gross and weird. It's like, it's such
maybe bolt a plate onto part of it for some reason. There's a hose coming off.
Right.
And then a brain, but it's a different guy.
Right. It's such like a stock sort of arena at this point where
hardcore games. Yeah. What gamers want.
Apparently
gamers really do want it.
Yeah, they must.
Yeah, I guess.
It's weird. I think it's such a dry area at this point. I just mean like it's run dry. I didn't phrase that well.
Needs some moistening in that particular area.
Yeah.
Needs some
Jake just
lotion.
Scratched his arm there. There's no way to convey that.
He might have been microphoned.
Yeah. So Epic Mickey, who knows? Maybe there's an Epic Mickey. I hope they call it that if true. If, you know.
War Inspector's Epic Mickey.
Yeah. I think we actually talked about that specific thing on the podcast as well.
Yeah, we have.
All we do is repeat ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
How about that Far Cry 2?
Yeah. Trying.
Yeah. What have you been playing, Nick?
I played Neo Tokyo a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you beat it?
That's Jake's question on every podcast. Wait, repeat your question, Jake.
I just want to know if you did.
Did you beat it? Yeah, no, I lost a lot. I got killed quite a bit.
Yeah, me too. I tried it and I also got killed a lot.
Yeah, although I was doing better at the end. I don't know. It's
now people can write us in and remind us how much we suck at video games.
Well, I got better. It's a fairly hardcore tactical thing. If people haven't played it, it's a bit like a more tactical Counter-Strike, but with a theme of
a more tactical Counter-Strike. In what sense?
Well, it's slower and it's more like Rainbow Six.
Okay,
it's sort of mixed with the Counter-Strike, you know, Source Engine thing. But the theme is sort of Japanese anime, essentially, like Ghost in the Shell, and
also it's set in a place called Neo Tokyo.
Well, yeah.
It actually looks really nice, I think.
It does. The maps,
the character
are,
models are kind of whatever, but the actual environments are pretty gorgeous.
Yeah,
especially for a mod game. And for this being the first playable release.
Right.
It looks pretty nice.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a mod game?
Yeah, it's a mod. It's a Half-Life 2 mod.
Yeah.
It's been in the works forever, apparently. I hadn't really been following it, but...
Oh, it's a Half-Life 2 module?
It's a module.
A total conversion.
A module.
I like to call it.
It's TC.
A TC.
I ran a news site about total conversions for a while.
Did you?
Yeah. Really?
Nice.
Yeah, it was called Converted 2 for some reason. I inherited it from a friend of Spaff, another Idle Thumbs guy.
Sweet.
I forgot about that. Sorry.
Did you cover Neo-Tokyo?
What are your favorite TCs,
no, we didn't.
Jake?
It's been a long time.
Yeah, I know.
It was a decade ago.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I was thinking about that today, just thinking about, man, mods. Weird.
Yeah. Well, someone wrote in to
I know.
To criticize our lack of mod coverage, which, I mean, I'll read that email when we get
Neo
there.
Tokyo this week.
Yeah, research and development.
Research and development and feces coming up.
Yeah, so. I couldn't really get into Neo Tokyo very much, though. I mean, I couldn't
get into it either.
Yeah. Actually, I was playing with somebody who had played it when it launched and was saying that, Alice Walker from Shaq News, she was saying that it's just, apparently the community kind of abandoned this game pretty quickly. Like,
really? Already?
Yeah, we couldn't find many full servers, and the people who are still playing are impossibly
good.
Well, they're good, but they're also not very mobile. They just sort of stand there and wait for you know, a lot of camping, basically.
So it's kind of like Counter-Strike.
And a lot of, annoying people that, you know... are annoying, and then the people who are annoyed by those people team kill them, and then they get kicked, and it's just...
Oh, it's one of these games.
Yeah, one of those games. Yeah. So, but, you know, outside of things you can't control, it's not a bad game. It's just...
No, I mean, it seemed fine. It just...
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Yeah. I mean, it has a couple core mechanics. You can go stealth, you can cloak, and then there's a vision thing that you can see people who are cloaked. And,
yeah.
And... that's about it, really. Other than that, it's just straight kind of capture the flag in a race to a central point, and then, you know.
Sure.
But there are a couple of interesting things.
It's in Neo Tokyo, though.
Yeah. I mean, there's robots.
It is in New Tokyo.
It's the newest Tokyo.
There's a couple of robots. So.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a I got killed a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I
actually, it's actually very difficult to tell who is on your team. And so I ended up like completely wasting a couple of my team members totally by accident. And then what happens is you go down, you can go into negative experience on the little like progression.
Does that subtract,
it subtracts weapon
experience?
Choices.
Oh shit.
So I had like one gun and, I was walking around and then I just got completely owned.
Yeah, of course.
That was my unbiased experience.
I agree with you, though. The reticle is not, like, it's not, you know, because the actual character models are not very distinctive in that respect.
They're not distinctive at all. And then there's just a little reticle on each. Yeah. On each
and it only pops
members.
Up when you've got the cursor
when
of
you,
them, right?
And so when you have that vision mode on, it's very difficult to see. But that's something that mods, you know, I mean, even like the original
Counter-Strike had that problem for a
Counter-Strike had that problem for a long time. And then they finally solved it.
I mean,
when they ruined it.
I mean, that's what mods are theoretically supposed to do. You know, they're supposed to...
Supposed to have indecipherable teammates.
Well, no, I mean, they're supposed to get all that shit worked out and then
constantly iterate.
You don't
get that experience anywhere
it.
Else outside of mods.
No, I'm just saying, you know.
No, yeah, I mean,
this is
all about
iteration where it feels
and
like,
yeah,
it feels like they definitely waited until they felt this game was very, very, very far into. I mean, the last time I played any meaningful amount of Counter-Strike was well in the early betas, you know. I mean, when that game was first even already popular, it was so rough. You know what I mean? They just got it out there.
The very first beta.
Yeah, I think I played beta 2 was the first one I played. Yeah. And, you know,
beta 2 was good.
We should compare the last time we talked about this and see what beta versions we all said we played.
I don't remember what beta number I said I played. I think it was like the second or third, but I can't. There's no way I could possibly
be sure. I remember playing early betas and then stopping around the time there were vehicles that you could drive around.
Exactly,
in.
Me too. Yeah.
We said that last
vehicles
time.
Vehicles you could drive around.
Yeah, there were a couple
they
betas
had tanks
where you could ride tanks
a while there. Yeah.
I may not have played that beta.
I definitely played that one. Yeah. That's actually one of my strongest Counter-Strike memories because it was so weird.
It's like, what the hell? I'll drive the thing. Like,
a special map that...
I don't remember
there
that.
Were a couple, but... No, there were, I think there were a few maps that had a thing that moved around. And then, and then someone said, why did we do that?
There were like shields at one point too. But
I thought that was Condition Zero that has those.
They added them to full
Counter-Strike
as well.
Yeah.
For like a beta or two.
Let's talk about Counter-Strike.
Yeah, Counter-Strike beta.
10-year-old Counter-Strike
games. Oh, God, I love CS Siege.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a good map. Yeah. Anyway.
That Fat Princess game is out, I think.
Is it out?
I think, or it's like out in a couple. I mean, it's like it's out this week, right? I mean,
yeah, right. Thursday.
Probably by the time people
by the time people listen to this, it will be out.
And we've all played it.
Did any? Well, did any? Did either of you guys play it?
No.
No. I played the, I was in the beta. I played that.
Is it good?
I didn't like it.
Really?
I really wanted
I've only
to,
heard good things.
Because when they oh really that's interesting. Because yeah. When they announced it, I was pretty excited about it. I really liked
well,
the concept.
Well, it sounds like Team Fortress, but sort of twisted and put on a.
Yeah, but it just
princess.
It ends up feeling very unfocused, and maybe part of this is like just a community issue where you know once people start all getting the game and it'll be better. But you kind of just run in there, and it kind of just feels like you can sort of run around and go. I mean, basically, you've each got a princess in your base, and it's sort of capture the flag, but with this princess that gets increasingly harder to capture as she eats more cake and becomes fatter. And it's a hilarious concept. I mean, it's a great concept for a game, and it looks good. But it's like there's so many. It feels like there are so many multiplayer concepts thrown into this game that you can play it and just kind of run around and like kill a guy, and there's no sense of like real urgency.
So it's
or
the Warhawk of
yeah. It has that problem. Yeah,
yeah.
And I know some people really like Warhawk, and actually, I did have some fun with that game. But yeah, it does. You know, that it does have sort of that similar thing where it's you don't feel like there's a strong impetus that's moving you to the next.
Yeah,
and I feel like Quake Wars kind of had that problem, mm-hmm. which is interesting because they dedicated so much of the interface to trying to solve that exact problem. Yep. It's tough to get around, but I think with multiplayer games, there is kind of an upper limit, just how many mechanics you can get in there, you know, that you don't necessarily have in a single player game. Well, you still have that, but
Battlefield 1943 sort of skirts that limit, but it actually, I thought it was going to be like that initially, but it holds together.
Is that
barely.
Why there's a trend in multiplayer games now to start you off and then build up? You know,
there is a trend to persistence.
Your persistent player, so you can start off and you can have a multiplayer experience that has the sort of gradual ramp up of a single player game. I mean, I don't know if that's talked about that often as a reason for that, but it surely is.
It's not just like whoa, all
so
this stuff.
I'm dumped into Quake Wars. Yeah. It's like, well, you're actually dumped into basically the equivalent of like TF2, and then eventually get all sorts
unlocked,
of crazy
shit. And
No, that's a good point. I mean, it's definitely a very, very marked trend in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. It's funny actually we bring this up because I was just today editing an interview with Ed Stern, who is one of the designers at Splash Damage, and they're making Brink, which looks really cool. We've talked about that, I think, on the podcast. And he was talking about how kind of Wolfenstein Enemy Territory was definitely one of those games that really sort of set that initial push for everyone starting to introduce those mm-hmm. almost RPG-like elements into multiplayer games. And it's funny because it almost is ubiquitous now. I mean, it's like it's pretty rare to find a newly released multiplayer game that doesn't have some level of persistence of some kind.
Well, at least a game where multiplayer is the focus.
Right.
The multiplayer mm-hmm. add-ons to various single player games.
Yeah. The Halo 3 multiplayer obviously is not like that, for example. But
Yeah. Strangely enough, I think that's why I like 1943, because it doesn't actually have that. I mean, there are rankings, but they're completely superficial.
Right.
I mean, it's just to show...
They're skill rankings as opposed to...
Well, they're not...
Like, I don't know. I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's just a progression. I mean, like, if you get 50 kills, you get to the next rank. And then if you get 70, you get to the next rank.
Right, but that doesn't affect your...
It doesn't give you any extra weapons or anything like that.
Right.
I mean, I still generally prefer that.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I don't play a whole lot of multiplayer games anymore, but what little I've played, so I mean, I'm anti-authority on that, but I...
Anti-authority, bring down a man.
Oh, shit. I don't know. I have yet to
Persistence
be...
Persistence, man.
I've yet to be sold on a concept of that makes me like, oh, this makes me want to play it more instead of less.
Right.
I mean, there are probably people for whom that is
there
a big appeal,
people,
but for me, like, in a multiplayer first-person game...
Like Call of Duty 4, look at the amazing success of that.
Yeah. I guess I'm an old man, but I like joining a thing where it's like, here are the consistent rules. Everyone has these rules.
Well, it draws a line in the sand. It's like those people who enjoy that stuff go on the one side, and then people like us are just kind of discouraged and off-put, and they're just, you know.
Well, a big part of it for me is that I just don't, given that I try to play a lot of different types of games and a lot of different games, I end up not playing, well, until I run into a game that really just, you know, completely obsesses me, which, you know, you can't count on that like with a multiplayer game. I mean, it's... Unless that happens, I'm probably not actually going to be playing this game enough to ever work my way through the whole persistence system and the whole upgrade system. I never do. I mean, Team Fortress 2, which is a game I think is a fantastic game, I still have a definite minority of the overall unlockable stuff in that game. You know, it's just... We've talked about that game a lot, so I don't, you know...
Did you guys see today that the Halo Wars leaderboards were entirely erased?
So? Doesn't that happen sometimes?
No. I mean, really? Unintentionally. Like, oh, okay. every like, all the true skill ratings, every yeah. component of that.
So it was just, like, just noob stomp mania today?
Yeah, I guess, like, yeah. Yeah, it just made me laugh, because I pictured the people that, you know, who were, like, really into that game just being utterly, like, crushed.
Well, you know what's also funny about that is that I'm guessing that game does not have the same multiplayer permanence as, say, a Halo 3. And so what's funny about that now is it's only going to fill up to the point now where it's actually being played. You know what I mean? It's it's like, you know, any game like that where it's got, says Halo on it, it's guaranteed to sell a couple million right out of the gate. It's going to look like there's a bajillion trillion people on the leaderboards there, because they're all going to sign on at least once. Now, the only people who are going to sign on to that game are the people who are actually still playing, and it's probably going to look like a much less well-populated multiplayer arena. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how active that game still is, but I don't know why you'd want to play it. I mean, I don't mean that to be an
asshole. I don't know why you would
want to
play this game.
No, see, because I could see you want to play that, see someone wanting to play that game in single player, right? I mean, in a, like, to me, the RTS, an RTS single player campaign, to me, usually has very little to do with strategy most of the time. You know what I mean? You're not, it's usually, so much of it is, like, scripted and very specific situations. You're basically just playing through to see what kind of mechanics the designers got in there and what the actual level design is like. And, you know, if you're interested in the story, there's that. But it's totally usually different than actually playing a real competitive multiplayer game. I mean, they're totally different experiences. And that's one of the cool things about the genre, is that they really do offer such different experiences. But I just can't imagine wanting to play a game like that, like, versus... It just,
it's pretty bare bones.
I mean, I've played that game before, you know? Yeah, and it's just...
Yeah.
There's so... I know some people just don't like gaming on the PC, and that's fine, or they just don't have one. And that's, you know, in that case, maybe you do really want to play an RTS. But I feel like someone who really wants to play an RTS, like, you know, there are plenty of them that'll run on a not high-spec PC that you could be playing.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Speaking of RTSs...
Yeah.
Didn't you have something you want to talk about CNC4?
Oh my god, yes, CNC4, we totally forgot to talk about this. Yeah, this is...
We totally forgot to talk about this. We've never talked about this.
Right.
Well, we did talk about CNC4 before, and I didn't talk about it.
Because the screenshot was out there. What is the screenshot thing?
The screenshot thing is... Jake and I just had we had an online conversation about this. It's not... Maybe other people won't think this as cool as we did, but there's a high probability of that.
No one will think this is cool. Get ready to...
be underwhelmed.
Yes.
I forgot to mention this before. When the CNC4 announcement was made, and when they, I think, you know, in close proximity to when they talked about the online activation requirement, they also released just some concept art and a screenshot. And they were so cool, at least I thought they were cool. The concept art was like a portrait layout,
sort of vertical.
Vertically oriented piece of artwork that had like a tank rolling around on the ground, and then some kind of, you know, shuttle dropship thing in the air, and then some little stealth looking fighters zipping around underneath it. And it seriously looked
like sort of like early 80s sci-fi novel cover.
Yeah, it really looked like a 70s, 80s era sort of like dime like paperback. You know, obviously that wasn't the era of dime paperbacks, but that style of artwork.
I've
sort of washed out colors and kind of really almost naive designs on some of the craft, like
the sort of weird angular, like this is
what the future might be.
but
not in like a kitschy 50s way, in that weird sort of post 50s, like just weird washed out look. It looked really cool, and that's not a style anyone ever adopts for sci-fi video games. Everyone always just goes for Aliens, basically. Almost, or Star Wars, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the look of that CNC4, which we're apparently now like exalting amazingly, but that is sort of the look that I was hoping to see more of in Mass Effect,
as you said. Some of that Mass Effect music, some of it is the kind of stuff that I always think of when I see that. Like, that's the kind of thing I want to see here paired together, is that music with that
with
kind
that
of
old... one piece of CNC concept.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what I mean? It's like, they all come from this weird sort of like, almost marginalized style of sci-fi, this just weird sidelines thing that's never as glitzy or well promoted as like the Star Wars kind of
the space opera stuff.
Yeah, and I thought it was cool.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Like that, especially
Nick's not seeing it. Probably
I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, it probably looks better on a big monitor. I don't know.
It probably looks better when Jake your imagination makes it more awesome.
Part of this looks. is this all concept art? Because part of this looks like an actual screenshot.
No, it might resolution, on you're looking at it on an iPhone, well, no, and when you shrink it down, it'll... Yeah.
It's cool, Nick. Shut up.
Okay, all right, all right.
Jake and I might actually talk about this topic a lot.
We might really dork out... I dork out about the same kind of things.
This tank to me does
the
not
sort of
really...
the sort of
no. The like... tank is less like it than the top. I'm more talking about the
you're
top.
You're talking about the top.
Yeah. All right. So, okay. 50% anyway, of this is pretty badass.
Okay, but see, the reason that it's not just that picture is that there's also an actual in-game screenshot. I mean, I hope it's in-game. Intended to look in-game.
The look of that concept art may have actually been correctly carried over into a video game,
right,
which also does not ever happen, especially that's sort of color design and not just sort of looking at this concept art and saying, I'm going to make sort of a representative version of it. Nick sees none of this. That's
Nick,
all right.
You please at least look at it on an actual monitor later.
No, I did. I've looked at it before.
All right,
I've
who cares? This. Chris and I are completely full of shit, but we will use any opportunity possible to massively dork out over the sort of like neglected branch of the sci-fi tree.
It just looks like Supreme Commander to me.
I hate you.
It does not look anything like Supreme Commander.
Oh, that's a Supreme Commander screenshot.
Oh, okay. No. Oh, I googled the wrong game.
The difference is in,
I agree.
The difference is in the difference is in the colors. I'm not talking about like what the robot looks like.
Listen, you. This is hard. It's the palette.
It's the color grading.
The palette.
But it is. I mean, that really is what I'm talking about.
This is ridiculous.
Do you disagree, Jake?
No, I see what you're saying. I wouldn't fight it to the death.
On the Minority
though.
Report.
Also, 800 pocket protectors have exploded during this conversation.
Well, because I never got to explain what I meant about the screenshot before I was already dumped on.
All right, go for it.
Anyway,
I just don't see it. But go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say the actual color design and like overall range of the colors used in the screenshot are actually surprisingly similar to what's used in the concept art, and that is incredibly uncommon. You know, if you're not making it look like, for example, every other CNC game or what have you. Like, this doesn't look anything like Red Alert 3, for example, which is a very colorful game, lots of reds and yellows, lots of really bright colors. The CNC 4 looks nothing like that. It's a very soft, muted palette. There's a lot, I mean, it looks like there's almost a layer of dust over the whole thing, which is a big part of what I was referring to with the sci-fi cover artwork thing. I don't know. If this game looks like what the screenshot looks like, I'll be happy, and other people won't notice, and that's okay. Because then they won't have to worry about selling it weirdly. Like, if everyone else just sees this and it's like, oh, that just looks like Supreme Commander or every other game, then maybe that's good. Because that means they don't have to worry about, like, convincing someone that it's fine. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, if they don't have to convince then I'll be fine.
Maybe we just really want it to be good.
I would like it if it was good. Maybe it won't be. I don't know.
I enjoy that you're just like Conquer game being good, but
really? Oh man,
I hate that series. Actually.
Really,
sort of actively.
Thing?
Yeah, wow. I enjoyed like the original Red Alert, but since then I just
the original Red Alert.
Well. I cannot,
now it's your turn.
I cannot stand Command & Conquer as a franchise.
What are your grievances?
It's just so bland from a balance standpoint, and it's just I've never really enjoyed. I don't know. It just seems like a lot of very kind of disconnect. Like I don't know. I'm full of shit. Let's just keep.
We've all agreed we're all three full of shit.
Yeah, no. I played Generals actually quite a bit. And so maybe I'm full of shit.
That's an interesting one to have played a lot of.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's sort of the most recent that wasn't Red Alert.
Which one was that?
Well, there's CNC 3. I mean, that was after Generals.
Oh, that's right. God, there's so many of them. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just more of a StarCraft person. I can't get into it.
That's fine. It's fair enough.
They just seem like very cut and dry RTS games.
I played a decent amount of CNC and Red Alert, but the memory that still stands out for me the most about all of the Command & Conquer series is the dude drinking the motor oil in the opening cutscene, which is that's how hard I am.
Totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
It's a classic cutscene. Yeah. my definite mem- like early memory of CNC is definitely the buildings unfolding out of themselves.
Oh yeah,
that was amazing.
That was left-handed. Also, is a thing
left-handed.
Is it the general or the commando, whatever the name of the class is, where it's just the one lone dude who can just go around and fuck people up.
Yeah.
And one of the things that he says when he kills people is, that was left-handed. And I was like, oh man, a little witty quip from that dude.
That's funny.
Yeah. I mean, I played the original Command & Conquer as well, like a lot.
But you hated it.
No, I mean, I liked it back then. I just, I don't know. They just seemed to sort of get more and more distilled and kind of just boring. I don't know. Just nothing about the story. I mean, everybody's always like into the storyline of these games. Like, oh, it's so, you know, cheesy and hilarious.
Will
and
the Brotherhood of Nod ever win out against GDI?
Yeah, oh, man. I can't stand the FMVs. I'm sorry. I get what they're going campy for, but thing, I just, yeah, just the camp. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for, but it's just,
yeah.
Couldn't care less. And then, I don't know, it is a very single player focused series. And to me, nothing in any of those missions that I've played from a Command & Conquer game in the last 10 years has been interesting to me. It's just all very boring design.
That's fair enough. I like it. We went from us talking about dorking out over 80s sci-fi cover art to you just shitting on everything.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I just want to confirm, at least I know that there's one other person who at least agrees with me on the artwork thing. I'm not claiming anyone else in the world will, but I...
Besides me?
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least I know that I wasn't just fully making it up, even if I'm reading a bit into it. I don't know.
Who else... You know, we don't need to name names.
I see it somewhat. I see it.
Looking at it.
In the ground textures, I see it. I don't.
What is this? Okay, we're going to take a break.
Let's see. Look at the fucking little. Oh, you're looking at the other picture now. Well, yeah.
Well, that's the actual screenshot.
Oh, well, I know. God,
that's the game.
We were just talking
this
about
is not happening right now.
Yeah.
We stopped recording when I said we're going to take a break.
Well, I think the
actually, real quick,
of
on a totally
shot
separate.
Really what?
Well, no. What?
Okay.
Because Jake, you were like, well, the Brotherhood of Nod win or whatever. Electronic Arts did actually claim, I don't know why they would claim this or if it's true, but they claim this is the last game in the main CNC series. They call it the conclusion of the series.
They're killing Superman?
Yeah, it seems like an odd thing for a video game company to say, since none of them ever say we're going to stop making a series. That's what they say, though.
Well, until they make, like, CNC Tales of Cain.
Right.
You know what bothers me about Command & Conquer?
Sub-Zero Adventures.
You know what? I mean, what? Okay, it's always been a game where it's just like, all right, yeah, wow, okay, now you can build the mega tank. You know
right.
what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's
yeah,
like
yeah.
The regular tank,
yeah, yeah,
then
yeah.
you've got the mega tank.
Right.
They never really did anything beyond that. I mean, I guess Red Alert
you want
was
the
just
ultra
like,
tank? What?
Well, no, I mean, it's just that seems to be the hook, in other words. Like,
yeah.
there's no depth of gameplay there. It's just like, okay, here's a big tank, and then here's an airship.
I think that is kind
it
of.
It still is very. I mean,
I think that is sort of part of what that series deliberately
it's, yeah,
does.
Yeah, it's all
though,
about gimmicks
less,
and kind of just
I mean,
like.
It's less
yeah.
rock, it's less sort of rock paper scissors. It's more just sort of here's an army with like increasingly powerful things. I mean, it's a little closer to it the actual notion of an army. I mean, it's still completely preposterous,
yeah.
especially the Red Alert series. But I mean, you know, I think what they're trying to do, at least vaguely, is get closer to the idea of sort of a graduated force with like actual kind of increasing R&D and things like that, as opposed to StarCraft,
yeah.
where it's sort of like, I mean, I have three of these guys and three of these guys. And you know what I mean? Like, it's the actual army composition in StarCraft makes no real sense at all.
No.
It's purely
video
game balancing act.
I
which is fine. It's better competitively.
A balancing act.
My complaints probably stem more from specific sort of design choices than any kind
yeah.
of overarching, like,
theme. Yeah.
Command & Conquer, you know, thematic
right.
decisions. It's just, you know, I could list off 10 different things I don't like about the way that units work and the
sure.
way you've got to deal with like air units in that game that I just fucking hate. You know, I mean, it's always like an air base with like four planes and you have to like manually sort of lift them off and deal with them. It's just, I don't really like how anything works in those games. But
all right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That was an unexpected.
Yeah. We have two emails about this topic.
About Command & Conquer?
About Command & Conquer 4 with opposite opinions.
Mm.
All right, so get ready for that later.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to be displeased.
Fuck.
Break?
Break.
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 Take one.
Taking a break.
But when you declare Donkey Cock Country or Donkey Balls on the front page of your internet website, like, I don't know.
Of your internet website.
You sort of cross over into another realm of, I don't know, tact emptiness, like a void.
With tact void.
Yeah. Dark Void. And Capcom has a game coming out called Dark Void.
This is a screenshot that they've taken and then...
Of Dark Void?
No. Oh. Of the Command & Conquer.
Oh.
Nick!
No. I'm just looking at it.
We're back.
Yeah.
Didn't we have something we were going to talk about when we came back?
Heroes of New Earth?
Oh, yeah. Heroes of New Earth. You played it.
Yeah, I did.
What do you think? And the NDA is up now?
Although they were trying to keep me from playing it.
Wait, really? What do you mean?
The community members, they didn't want me to play the game.
Oh, yeah, this is what I've heard about this game. This has actually scared me away from playing this game. Also, like...
Be afraid. Yes. this game is terrifying.
It's another Dota style thing?
Yeah, it's another Dota game, which, you know, do we have to explain that? I am so tired of explaining what Dota is.
No, so anyway...
You cannot believe how tired I am of explaining what Dota is on in stories.
Is it because every single time you ever refer to it and in the news, someone's like...
Yeah, what's Dota? 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 It's just
it's
clockwork. Ah, God, it's a mod for Warcraft 3 that you should probably play. That been ripped off.
Nick loves
to
explaining
be created
this.
Into to be transformed into three separate games: Demigod, League of Legends, and Heroes of New Earth. And Heroes of New Earth is made by S2 Games, who did Savage 2. Well, Savage 2, and Savage, and Savage 2.
And this is set in the same universe. Which is
yes, it is. Yeah. New Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Okay, so it's a really competent Dota clone. It's actually, I mean, it looks really nice. They also have at least
one team member, right? From the original Dota, I think.
I think so.
And yeah. I like that all these
I know, they've
groups,
all
Yeah, they're like, "Oh, we've got like, this guy." Yeah. Like,
the band broke up, but you're all right.
Yeah.
Trying to,
yeah. This, yeah. These ones are McCartney. Like the Beach Boys featuring Mike Love.
Right, exactly.
Like,
you
know, they're all the
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean it feels like a really slick version of Dota. But man, it has the S2 community, which is the most poisonous community I could possibly conceive of.
So that's the S2 community specifically.
It is, because when I play Savage, I had the same problem.
Oh, interesting. I always I assumed it was the Dota community that migrated over.
It's probably both. They're probably one and the same.
Yeah.
They both were spawned from the same, you know, asshole.
Wow, that's a horrible image.
It, the image you should have of playing this game is, oh God, I feel so bad for these guys. Look, the game is actually pretty good.
They're a cool company, too.
They are a cool company. And you know what? I mean, like, when the game comes out, and if...
And there are people who aren't in the beta. Like,
right, well, and if the matchmaking is up to par.
Right.
Then I would say check this game out. I mean, the one thing that League of Legends is doing that's smart is they have all of these... I think I've talked about this, but...
You were allowed to talk about this.
Maybe not, but they're doing a really good job of training new players to the game.
Oh, League of Legends you're talking about now.
Yeah, I'm talking about League of Legends.
Sorry. Okay, yeah. No, I agree. They've actually made
it
very accessible.
They're doing a really good job of making it accessible. Heroes of New Earth is not doing that right now, and I think it's going to be released later as a result of that. I think they're not really expecting it until very early, it's the end of the year. Which is going to kind of hurt them probably, but they need to do that though, because when I played this game,
join the party and go back to 2010 like everyone else at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. This Christmas is going to be weird.
It's going to be
there's still
weird.
A lot of stuff though. That's what's crazy about it. There's just a million games.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's going to be weird.
Yeah. Anyway. But well, you know,
that's another topic.
Let me just quickly say.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, my experience with this game was, oh, this is really cool. I'm sort of getting into this. Oh, I see what Dota is. Oh, wait. I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, I'm dying. I'm dying a lot. Oh, wait. Now this guy wants me to give control of my character to him because I'm doing so bad that it's causing him to have an aneurysm. And now he's going to talk about that in chat. And then he's going to call me an ignorant fool and then repeat
so
that for every match.
Just like a total pussy with a...
Yeah,
you know,
I don't know how to
play it. Thin skin.
Yeah. Oh, it was worse than that.
And you suck at games.
I've never been verbally harassed while the guy is simultaneously trying to take away control of my character. I mean, this is really bizarre. Like, first of all, it's weird that you can do that. It's weird that I can like just give up control of the game.
Yeah, that is sort of odd.
But also that he would like impose on me in that way is just kind of. Really weird to me. Like, okay.
See, I've heard things that are way nastier about this game than what you're saying.
Well,
I mean, I don't know. I've heard that people are just the most discouraging. Just
oh, they are
amazingly.
They're just like, go away, don't play this
vilest,
game.
Vilest, venomous. Like,
yeah, they are. They're incredibly venomous. I probably should have brought like chat transcripts because it's really bad. But I just thought it was hilarious that on several different occasions they're like, you know, just give us control of your guy because you're that bad. Okay. I mean, and those people are just everywhere.
Did you give them
control? No, I didn't. In fact, I intentionally played worse just to infuriate him.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Walking around in circles.
It's like, yeah. It's like my Diablo 2 golem pooping. I think I've talked about that before.
Yeah. That's the only thing to do with those guys. I mean.
Yeah. No, and whenever I see discussion of this, it's always like, well, you know, it's a competitive game. You're supposed to be know how to play the game, and you're supposed to get
that's
better at the game.
You started telling them, go play League of Legends. That's, you know, we don't want you around here.
Right.
Well, I mean, you know, part of the problem is you can see somebody's record before the game even begins. So even getting into a game is hard because people look at your record. They're like, this guy doesn't know what the fuck
StarCraft
doing.
Was like that back in the day.
Yeah,
I mean, it probably still is. I don't really know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I had that experience when I'd make a new account, especially because Battle.net used to delete your shit like if you didn't use it for 3 months.
Right.
And I would go through long periods of time where I wouldn't play those games and I'd come back on. And it was people would always do that. Like, what the fuck, noob?
Yeah.
Don't come into our game. And it's like, fuck, I know how to play this game.
Yep.
And that I mean, you know, I guess matchmaking solves some of that, but this game, I guess not.
Yeah.
Do you know if they're going to try to put in that kind of stuff? I mean, you said they might.
I don't know what their plan is specifically, but
you just want them to. And if you talk about it on this podcast,
yeah, they need to. You should do that if anybody's listening from.
It's too bad. It's amazing how different. I mean, you know, because this is a very lopsided comparison. Like this kind of stuff can often just be pegged down to complete chance and luck of the draw. But my first experience with the League of Legends beta was just preposterous. It was like. It was like a parody of the opposite experience. I mean, it was just like,
You were telling me about this. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Just looks like this might be your first time in. You got no record, but you know, any questions, just let us know. And like people were just chiming in from the game and they're just like, yeah, man, you might want to like keep this in mind. And don't forget, there's a shop over there and you can buy stuff and like, you can want to, and it was just ridiculous. People from both teams were just like, yeah, like let's have a good time and play a video game. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, people were still playing, like they were still trying to win. You know, I still got my ass kicked for a while, but I mean,
maybe like, these games should sort of team up and be like the afterlife of Dota clones.
You get sent.
You're just playing through both simultaneously. Through the happy friends, unicorns prancing, and then like the rape pit.
What they need is a reputation system that you can mark someone's like experience. You know, like on Xbox Live or something, or some PC games have this too. Mm-hmm. And then depending on how you're rated, you end up kicked into one of these.
Well, that's like the three, all three Dota clones.
You start off playing Demigod, which
stratified,
is
stratified, right? Yeah, the sort of neutral one, and then you ascend or descend. Depending on how you behave,
the design of the games almost reflect that too. I mean, like League of Legends is
when you
like
look
happy,
at them,
they're
exactly.
Children
right.
And like
yeah.
you know, goofy
a little
kind of
girl
and,
with the stockings.
Yeah,
kind of,
and like, Heroes and Heroes are just like this big kind of like Minotaur dude with a you know. I mean, it's just I don't know. It shocked me because I've never had the experience of being on a team with somebody and we win. And the guy is still verbally harassing you after the round is over because you didn't do like this, you know, 10 minutes ago or something.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was just it was awful. It was the worst online experience I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. My favorite is always when it's the guy who's just like, you know, he's just got like the Christ complex, except he's an asshole, you know, and he's just like, I'm just suffering for all your sins, fuckers.
Shit. I mean, I was putting up with this guy.
You guys have certainly seen that.
I was putting up with this guy for 20 minutes. And you know, my friend and I were just like laughing about how insane this guy
exactly.
was. Just
it's
like,
hilarious.
And we were just sort of like making fun of him in chat, you know, just kind of like egging him on, you know.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun in that respect. But
that,
then it turns
it
out
enjoyable.
The dude, he's like, yeah, I was brought on as a community developer for this game. And, you know, this is just kind of the, you know, the bullshit that's really ruining it. You know, he's a fucking community developer. Like, he's like some kind of like little...
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then, of course, I found the guy on
I guess you know why the community is.
The Heroes of New World. Yeah, well, yeah. Now, I found posts from him on the forums, and it turns out he's just as much of an asshole there as he is in the game.
I've heard that in online communities, you reap what you sow.
Yeah. It is funny the experiences you can have. I think I talked about, speaking of Command & Conquer, like, I remember my first experience playing Red Alert 3 in the beta. Was also just like so pleasant. It's weird how games are just one, you know, not they're just one or the other, but I mean, it's amazing. Like how the, you know, got to be tons of overlap, especially these days, PC games. You've got to think that audience is concentrated enough now that there's got to be a lot of the same people playing different PC multiplayer games. And it's funny when you go into one and you just have such a pleasant experience and it's just so nice and people are just so helpful. And then you go into another one and it's like, Christ, I just don't ever want to play this game, even if I'm good at it. It's like, what a depressing, horrible environment to be in.
Yeah.
It's weird. I mean, you get that. I mean, that's not necessarily a PC specific thing, but I mean, you know, it's definitely a multiplayer roulette wheel, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how to get around that.
I don't either.
I mean, you seem to think a lot of it with Heroes of New Earth is just sort of the legacy of these communities. That kind of sucks if you're just screwed into, like, you know what I mean? It's just sort of,
that's
the people who are here.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, they sort of gain clout within their own group of
players. Exactly.
And then it's, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a pretty common thing, like, in mods often. You know what I mean? Because you end up getting this really dedicated group of people who this is the thing they know about. And, you know, they sort of are the ones pushing it and protecting it and keeping it alive. And that sort of makes sense. But I guess that's, I mean, even Heroes of New Earth, that whole sort of has that legacy. You know, it's an indie game.
But small indie developers get that sort of thing. So.
Right. Yeah. That's too bad.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes. Yeah. You guys want to read a mail?
Read. Yeah.
Some reader mail.
Read.
Read an email sent in by someone who listens to this podcast.
Yeah. Okay, we have a lot of email to go through here.
So what happens when you record an episode 2 days late.
Yeah.
I know.
And full plate.
It's garbage.
Oh, I thought
never mind.
What?
Reader mail. Hey.
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 All right. Red O writes.
Oh, that guy.
Hello, Idle Thumptons.
Hey.
I'm gonna try to condense some of these emails because we can get through more of them. Yeah. Well, I usually don't enough. So he says a bunch of stuff. Basically, the gist of his post is Shigeru Miyamoto these days. He says, how's the wife? How are your grandparents? How's the carrot garden coming along? Are you getting enough calcium? Remember, brush, brush, brush. These are the things Shigeru Miyamoto cares about way more than video games these days. And he's a man whose yawns are captured and transcribed for whispers of ideas like ephemeral dewdrops of morning rain. So anyway, essentially his point, he goes on to say, you know, if you work at Nintendo, if you're a designer there, do you think the sort of godlike status of Miyamoto within that company ends up being creatively extremely frustrating for younger generations of designers who are looking to get their ideas out there?
Hmm.
Yeah, that's basically his question. I think that's probably more true there than a lot of companies just because of how preposterously successful that guy's games have been.
But it also seems like on most projects, there are people with plenty of authority and ideas.
Yeah,
and
he sort of hands
he definitely rarely actually directs games.
Right. I'm sure that there have probably been many depressing stories if you ended up going to a bar with a Nintendo designer where they're like, I had this great idea, and Miyamoto came in and was like, I had this other idea, and then a third of your dock is ripped apart. But
I mean, that kind of stuff is...
But that's how video games are sometimes, too, I think. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I think probably more what goes on in Nintendo is there's sort of just a...
I guess it is.
A, yeah, no, I mean, Jake, I think you're completely right.
I might not be.
But I think there's probably also a sort of overriding, like... Miyamoto design ethic that probably supersedes any individual that probably just is part of the company's fabric at this point.
Right.
That, you know, sort of, especially now with the success of the Wii and all of that, that, you know, I think probably there's just a certain kind of game that you're unlikely going to be able to get through at Nintendo just because there probably is a certain tenor, a certain kind of type of game that goes through. One interesting, funny story about this. I think there was a Wired interview recently. I could be misattributing this, but there was they had done an interview with the director of Super Mario Galaxy 2 and earlier, you know, at some prior date. And the director was saying something like, yeah, you know, I was hoping to get some more story in here.
I thought that was Mario Galaxy 1. No, you're right. It was 2.
Yeah, I think it's 2. And he was talking about how he was hoping to get some more story in there. He was thought it would there, you know, there'd room to kind of get some more narrative. And then they did an interview with Miyamoto. I guess I think at E3. Mm-hmm. And Miyamoto's like, yeah, you know, I really didn't want any of that story in there. So for 2, I'm really You know, really just cutting that all out. And then I guess it was probably Chris Kohler, who we've had on the cast before. And it's like, well, you know, Mr. Whoever, the director of the game, was saying he wants to get more story in there. And then it was like Miyamoto looks agitated. And he's like, oh, well, I'll definitely have to go over there and get rid of all that right now. I thought it was really funny that he's basically just being like, oh, okay, well, I'm just going to go just cancel all my employees' plans for this game that he's yeah. hopeful about. It was funny to me that was in a public interview.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Nintendo, more than most companies, probably does have that going on.
Yeah.
I think there is sort of a Japanese also tendency towards that to a certain degree when you've got those figureheads at those companies.
The structural thing.
Yeah. I mean, for everything I've heard about Japanese development.
Well, there was a GDC panel on
very top down
on Eastern versus Western.
Yeah. Are you talking about the Goichi Suda thing?
Yeah. And there was a question related to this, and I think the question was something like, you know, how often do you let other employees sort of, you know, contribute or sort of, you know, maybe change your mind or override. Yeah. And they were kind of like, ah, yeah. like right. what? Change my mind. You know, yeah. I didn't get the sense that there were very many opportunities for that to occur.
And it was funny. I think it's actually a different panel than what you're thinking of, than what I was thinking of. But a couple of years ago, there was one with Goichi Suda, the guy who did Killer 7 and No More Heroes. And I don't know. I really like that company, Grasshopper. But it was funny because, you know, that guy has he fosters such sort of a punk aesthetic, and his games always seem like, Jesus, how do you get this through a company? And
was he the one who was like, always do what your producer says?
Yeah. He's like, it's very important to listen to your producer and like do what he says and make sure you've got that good relationship, because he probably knows what's right. And it's like, wow, that's so different from how, especially at GDC or an event like that, where it's a lot of developers talking to other developers.
Right.
That is not how Western developers talk about their producers usually. But it was, I don't know, that was really weird and amusing to me.
Yeah.
I don't know if we probably don't have any other inside stories about Miyamoto, but.
It's one time.
Yeah. It's one time I was trying to make a game at Nintendo and Miyamoto just kept, it sucked.
Yeah, I was apparently sitting next to a dinner one time.
What?
I was apparently sitting next to him at dinner one time and didn't notice.
Oh, yeah.
That happened.
That's too bad. Jake totally spoiled an opportunity to have dinner with Miyamoto.
Well, to shake his hand and demand Pikmin 3 multiplayer.
Well, that too. God, you know what? When I was down at down in San Diego for Comic-Con last week, I used to live in San Diego, and so every time I go down there, I hang out with old friends, and God, played a bunch of Pikmin 2 multiplayer. It is still so fun. Yeah. That game is so incredibly good. It's such a great multiplayer experience. Oh, I just got to say, like, people really need to try it, you know, and just give it a shot. It's so fun. I'm really worried the Pikmin 3 multiplayer, if it even has it, is not going to live up to it, because it's just it's so good. You know,
shut up, it will, and it'll be great. It's not gonna. It'll go online, then people will find a bunch of exploits and ruin it.
Oh, man. So Steve Lavington of London, England, had the same reaction I did when during Idle Thumbs 35, when I guess Nick was talking about the dogfighting game. He says, I was enjoying Idle Thumbs 35 when someone you said about Wii Sports Resort stopped me in my tracks. There's a dogfighting game. It's two-player only. What the fuck, thought I? Are Nintendo going for the coveted Michael Vick demographic? How's that going to work with Motion Plus? Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. And
I said dogfighting?
Yeah, it's got dogfighting because there's two planes chasing each other around and shooting at each other.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a dogfight.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, but see, as soon as it's out of context, it's like you immediately...
Like a dogfighting game.
Yeah. So he couldn't shake images of this going on, this horrible, horrible potential game.
Also included cockfighting. But that's also not what you think.
Man.
Oh, God.
Jake's still in the spirit of the upcoming weekend blast.
Yes.
Let's see.
That's a donkey fight?
It's a donkey show.
Oh. My dog and dog.
Read the next email.
Yeah, I know.
It's only
I'm looking
down a dark path.
I know.
The longer we sit here without new content, the more likely it is that we're going to just drift into horrible cockfighting.
Yeah. Oh man, these names that I can't say. I feel bad. Oh well, this guy has an alias here. He has a little phonetic guide for his name.
Because you offended.
That's awesome. Rhymes with boyfish. That's great. Okay, so Loyus Taltos writes, new listener to the podcast. Happy to say I'm a fan. I was curious if you'll be attending BlizzCon this year. Basically, he wants to know if we attend kind of fan events like BlizzCon.
You guys have gone to BlizzCon in the past a few times, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah, I covered it once for Shaq. I think Nick has a couple times now, right?
I've been there twice.
And you guys may be going this year, right?
I'm definitely going.
I'm trying to go, yeah. And we're cutting it pretty close. I haven't booked the travel yet.
I think he asks about asks. He asks about PAX as well. And
he doesn't. But
oh, really?
Let's pretend he did.
Oh, I'm probably going to PAX.
I'm going to try to go to PAX. We'll see.
Might go to PAX.
So, that's another fan con. Are any of us going to QuakeCon this year?
I'm not.
Because it's at the same weekend as BlizzCon.
It's actually the week before this week.
Oh, really?
It usually overlaps this year.
That always strikes me as the stupidest thing in the goddamn world.
Yeah, so it overlaps last year, which is like ridiculous.
The two biggest PC enthusiast conventions of the year. Put them on the same day.
Yeah.
Good one.
Yep. Yeah. QuakeCon planning is always kind of sketchy.
Yeah.
Like they switch the hotel.
I know.
They might forget to have QuakeCon sometimes. Yeah. Yep.
Bad move. Yeah. All right, so Mike Roberts writes, hey, Thumbs, he was reading a preview of the Mothership Zeta DLC for Fallout 3. It refers to the Bethesda's admission that they messed up the ending to Fallout 3, which is why they've tried to address that with their DLC and remove the ending.
Broken Steel and such.
Right, exactly, Broken Steel. And so Mike Roberts writes, the question I have is why so many people are bent out of shape about the ending to Fallout 3, with the vast majority citing the fact that there is an ending as their complaint. Were people expecting the Oblivion structure?
Yes.
Also, how is that Nick and or Chris get review copies of games when neither of your websites reviews games?
Oh, shit.
I don't get many review copies.
Yeah, I don't either. We really don't.
Somehow the way it works is you're just on their list.
He's probably writing in about Wii Sports. This is the first thing I've gotten from Nintendo in probably 2 years.
Yeah.
I have no idea why I got this,
I don't
to be
get
entirely
much
honest
anymore
with you.
Because I don't review games.
And exactly. Yeah. That's the answer. It's like once they notice you don't review games, they take the list.
But sometimes you're also on that list for, a year when you like if you're on a publisher's list, they'll just sometimes
they just don't notice. Exactly.
Like I think I'm on the Square Enix list right now and it's just getting all these like Crystal Chronicles bullshit.
It might seem from listening to this cast like we get a lot of review copies around here, but I think it's that you guys go to press events and then
we just play a lot of previews.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, the amount of review copies that I see laying around your house are like on par with the amount of review copies I used to get when writing for Idle Thumbs, a non-existent website in 2004. So if anyone here was actually writing for a review-centric site, we would probably be sitting on chairs built out of review copies.
Yeah. I mean, there was a period of time when Shaq News, when I actually did like consciously try to get way more reviews on the site, and we were sent way more games at the time. And it's, we don't get a lot. I mean, I don't get a lot of Gamasutra, and I don't think Nick gets a lot of Shaq's. So.
Yeah.
Sometimes weird things happen. I really don't know why this Wii Sports came, especially 2 weeks in advance. That was very surprising. But, we got to talk about it.
Check out the dogfighting game, though. Yeah. So it uses the Frisbee dogs, which I thought was a little harsh.
Oh, so anyway, Fallout. My main problem with the ending to Fallout 3 was I just didn't think it was that good. I thought it was
me too.
I thought it was stupid.
Yeah, it's just kind of a lame ending.
I think probably some people didn't, because it didn't let you go back and play more after that.
Yeah,
right?
I think that's what people were surprised. Like, the game's over. Wait a minute. Yeah.
You have to, I think it's fine to end the narrative per se.
Right, but then if you want to go and find all the extra stuff that,
like, the world doesn't end. The whole point of that ending is that the world doesn't end. So
maybe
it spoiled something, but. Yeah, I think it's.
I think the original Fallout ended in that way, though. It was a final ending.
And yeah,
I think that's probably what they looked at.
It is. Yeah, they've said that in the past.
I think they were just trying to stay true to Fallout.
This is still undoubtedly a Bethesda game. You know what I mean? And I think to me, it felt. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they addressed it, so whatever.
There you go.
All right. Dylan Farrell writes, "Hey guys, at Idle Thumbs, I recently found out about your podcast. I didn't know of it before. You guys remind me of my friends. Cool.
We are your friends, Dylan.
So his question is, it's true. Ever since I've begun listening to the past episodes, I recently got into the classic adventure genre, which I never got into before. I must say it's a genre that I'm now sad to have seen passed.
You should have bought the games back when they were making them.
Yeah. Maybe it wouldn't be dead then, Dylan.
Yeah,
asshole.
Yeah.
What?
No, I thought this was a different email. There's someone else who. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
Jesus.
No, I didn't mean that.
You're the email Nazi.
I didn't mean to.
Still, your email is worthless, actually. Sorry.
No, that's not what I meant.
Never meant to read this piece
of
shit.
No, that's not what I meant at all.
This is an icebox we got here.
That's not what I meant at all. Dylan, thank you very much for email. I find it actually interesting because the adventure genre is one I usually think of as being exclusively appreciated by crusty old dorks who have played them forever. But
I make them.
Well, Dick makes them also. But, I mean, I assume most of your community is are people who, like, remember the class. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I have no idea.
It's a mix, but the there's a large chunk of the pie for sure that is crusty old people.
But anyway, the reason I the other email I was talking about that I thought it
I guess
that I well because someone else wrote in with basically the same email, but also was asking for recommendations.
What is this guy writing about?
Well, this guy I guess was just saying telling us.
Yeah. Doesn't that suck when you like yeah.
It does. It is too bad.
It's awful. I had the same experience with, like, The Longest Journey, even though I played, like, or not The Longest Journey. What?
Last Express?
Last Express.
The Longest Express?
The Longest Express. Yeah. Even though I played other adventure games.
Where can I find other, like, sort of persistent real-time adventure games full of,
exactly.
Sort of thrills and interesting characters? Sorry. Oh, that's the only one.
Yeah, it's the only one, yeah. And probably will be that way forever.
Right. But yeah, well, okay, well, apologies to the person who did ask that question, because I don't know where their email is now, but, someone else wanted to know if we could recommend any games that are currently available to actual adventure games that you can actually buy, like classic adventure games that are actually like out there
to
purchase.
Vintage 90s ones?
Yeah, or probably whatever, I guess. But I think that's mainly what he meant.
On Steam, there's LucasArts has four adventure games from their back catalog and Secret of Monkey Island Special Edition and Vivendi or whoever the fuck
Activision
right King's Quest.
They put out the King's Quest and Space Quest series, which were from compilation discs they put out a couple years ago. They didn't put the Legendary ones up, but
no, they didn't. But if we specifically want to actually recommend stuff rather than just sort of list what's available, I would personally recommend, and you guys can have your own whatever you recommend. I would personally recommend from the LucasArts stuff, Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis, which I think is easily one of the best point and click adventure games.
Yeah. And Secret of Monkey Island, obviously.
Secret of Monkey Island, yeah. And I'm gonna be a be that crusty old dude that I referred to.
You're saying Loom, aren't you?
No. Oh. Well, I mean, sure, also, but I mean, I was gonna say I would recommend playing Secret of Monkey Island without the new graphics, which I really think just changed the game. It's not. First of all, I just don't think they look good, for one thing. I just, aside from whether they look like how I think they should or not, I actually just don't really think they're that good looking. But I also think they add a very specific style to Guybrush, especially with the voice acting, that in the first two Monkey Island games just wasn't there at all. He was basically, to me, an empty character in those games, and I find that a very interesting facet of those games. Like, he becomes whatever mood he needs to be at any given time, depending on what he's saying. Whereas when you put that voice acting in, he sort of always becomes goofy, semi-snarky guy. And there's not really any way to have him just effortlessly slide into these different personas like there is when you don't have the voice acting. I think voice acting in general is great, but in that particular game, I just not a big fan of it. And then on the Sierra side, I would recommend King's Quest VI. I think you actually have to buy all of the King's Quests.
Yeah, but I don't think it was that expensive.
No, it was cheap. I think it's like $15 for all of them.
But yeah, six is great.
Six is awesome. I think that I was a big fan of the Sierra games as a kid. I feel they've aged a lot worse than the LucasArts games. But six, which was one of the last King's Quest games, I think is by far the best King's Quest. It was co-designed by Jane Jensen, who did
Gabriel Knight.
And I think she's a much better designer than Roberta Williams, who did the King's Quest series. So that was really good. King's Quest 4 was also okay. Some of the Space Quest games were good.
I never really played the Space Quest games. I only played King's Quest 5 and 6.
Space Quest 4 was good, but it was hard as shit. Jesus Christ. Anyway, I would recommend King's Quest 6. It's great.
I mean, if, like, adventure games that are newer,
yeah.
You might want to check out Dave Gilbert's games.
It's a good
like
call.
Wajet I, it's WADJETI.com.
I meaning like
E-Y-E.
Your face, not the letter. Yeah.
Also I don't remember the name of the studio or whoever it is, but the guys who did the game called Been There, Dan That. That's B-E-N.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I keep meaning to talk about that.
Is that Zombie Cow? Is that what it's called? Zombie Cow.
One of our Thumbs Forum community members.
That's also good stuff. Yeah. And also, I'm just going to say, if you're interested in a game from Telltale, I would recommend Sam & Max Season 2.
Cool.
It's a pretty good game.
That definitely seems to be the best received. Yeah. So there's a bunch of games.
Yeah. There's actually a surprising number of adventure games made, and a surprising number of adventure games still available for.
Yeah.
It's just no one cares about any of it.
Yeah. It's funny that all of a sudden enough people do that publishers are finally putting their old games out again, which I think is important.
I think LucasArts put all that stuff out, and then you could see that Activision like, wait a minute, we're sitting on these compilation packs. Put those up on Steam. Go, go, go.
Yeah.
Oh, also, if you have a DS, you might as well. I mean, you could look into the first Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney. Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney is it's totally adventure style game. It's obviously from Japan. It feels very different than Western adventure games.
It's a lot more sort of slideshow like.
It's definitely sort of first person stuff, but it is that game.
I really like the first one.
Like nailing
the first one is really
like
good.
When you actually sort of defeat someone in the courtroom, it's just it's the most it's like gratifying awesome. Feeling it's in really the entire good. World, which I, you just I totally adventure agree. Games don't have
they
story
don't
beats
have that
like that.
Mechanically driven kind of thing. Yeah.
Just anyway.
That series kind of warped into
sort of
me
hilarious.
A bit.
Yeah, Phoenix,
they were all
Phoenix,
kind of
right.
the same, but it's totally worth checking out the first one. And then also on the DS. Isn't Broken Sword available on the DS?
Yeah, I don't know if maybe there was Broken Sword was also on the GBA, and I think that version of it was just like impossible to play. But I think the DS one might be better.
Maybe
that game they keep porting it to things.
Yeah, well, Broken Sword's a good game.
Yes.
Also, you know, in terms generally of stuff that you can't necessarily get on Steam or on a console. If you are interested in the old LucasArts stuff and you can get a copy of the game via eBay or whatever, scumvm.org is a scummvm.org. That's a great utility that will allow you to play any of that stuff on any platform you could ever imagine, basically.
This is obvious information, but if you are really looking for old adventure games and have not played any of them, please play Monkey Island 2, Day of the Tentacle, and Full Throttle, because those are some of the best PC games I think that were ever made.
No, I agree totally. And I would also
go to that list.
Yeah.
And I would
I don't know, man.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just love that game.
And Monkey Island 3 and everything by LucasArts.
I probably actually like Grim Fandango more than Day of the Tentacle at this point.
It's pretty far up there for me. Let's not get into a debate. But.
Yeah. No, I mean
it has some significant flaws from a design standpoint, but man, I just love the story and theme of Grim Fandango.
It really is amazing. Yeah. I mean, if you can say anything about the adventure genre is dated in a lot of ways, but if you can say anything about it, I think I can take off my rose-tinted nostalgia glasses long enough to fairly objectively and confidently claim that those games still to this day pretty much have the best writing and story that can be found in games ever.
The really good adventure games from the 90s.
The good ones.
They have such a good, strong tone and aesthetic sense that just nobody has at this point. Just the combination of sort of creativity and budget versus maximum sort of achievable resolution and fidelity.
Sort of a nice harmony that was achieved.
Everything
there,
came together very nicely. Yeah. It was good stuff.
Yeah. And you know, a lot, there's some, especially in like Full Throttle and Grim Fandango and a couple other games, there were some awkward kind of gameplay sequences that get in there that don't hold up very well at all. But
Blade Runner is like that as well.
Blade Runner is like that also. But you know, you play an old game and you have to expect some of that.
We all like adventure games apparently from the 90s.
What?
I like just weird. We recorded like a second podcast.
I know.
Adventure games are awesome.
But I, you know,
the call of the nerd.
It's true. But I think Full Throttle to me still has pretty much the best writing.
You got in Pikmin 2 multiplayer. You got in Full Throttle.
I can't not.
Yeah. You like Grim Fandango better, Nick.
Those two for me are
which Throttle and Fandango
are sort of at the top of my pile.
Yep, they're good. All right, GKR writes, "Dear the Idle Thumbs Podcats, I was wondering how you guys feel about Moon being the first in a planned trilogy. I really liked it and only ever saw it because you mentioned it on Twitter."
Moon, but the movie, is it the first in a planned trilogy?
I guess.
He's talking about
Moon
game,
for DS.
Right? The DS game?
He's definitely not talking about the DS game because we've never talked about that.
All right, yeah.
So,
talking about the DS game.
He may think
we're talking about the DS game.
He calls it a film, so he's not talking about that.
Oh, weird, because it's not a planned trilogy, is it?
Well, no, there is a statement from Duncan Jones that says something to the effect of the next one is an epilogue to that, and then there's going to be another one.
What?
I mean, he says he wants
weird.
To... Yeah. I think Duncan Jones just doesn't actually specifically know what his next few movies are going to be because he said like four different things are all his next movie.
Well, I know. I think the one that he's making Moon is not in this thing, but he keeps talking about other sci-fi projects and stuff.
Yeah, and I think
the next one's not sci-fi. I know.
No.
He also has said he would like to make all of his sci-fi movies in the same universe.
Yeah, I like that. This is what we're really talking about on our video game podcast.
I know.
Yeah.
Actually, while we're on the topic,
his question gets into video games. So.
Okay. Oh, just before we go on to that, while we're on the topic, there's a really good interview with Duncan Jones out there. It's a video interview. It's like an hour long, and it's just him in his office, just talking very candidly. You should look it up. I think it's God, I think it's on like Slash Film, I think. It's like one of those random movie sites. Right. But it's actually really, really good. You should go check it out.
Also see Moon.
Yes, yeah, Moon, if you still have it. Because I think since we last mentioned it, it's actually come to a decent number of theaters now, whereas it wasn't when we previously talked about it.
It's actually still expanding quite a bit.
Yeah, it is.
The Moon is expanding.
Yeah, that's no Moon. anyway, he says, not all movies need to be trilogies. I think it ended really well. And I'm not going to spoil anything on air, but I really think a sequel could take away from the original. This happens with a lot of video games as well, which I guess I'm just mentioning so it's not a question about movies, just some video game jerks. With love, GKR. So, yeah.
That is definitely true. That said, I guess in the case of Moon, I sort of trust that guy that then whatever the next movie is isn't going to be like
Moon 2.
The next
Moon
shot.
They wouldn't call it Moon 2. Yeah.
Moons.
You would call it
Two Moons.
Mooned.
From Dave Perry.
Mooned.
Yeah,
I do think that is a disease in the video game industry.
It's a disease
that publishers love.
I mean,
not anywhere as strongly as video games.
Back to the Future 1, The Matrix 1, Pirates of the Caribbean 1. I don't know.
With video games, it's all of them.
I guess that's
true. Every single successful video game. The number of, when you look at whatever the top 10 box office is, count how many of them are sequels, and then look at the NPD.
With films, I mean, the brand is the actor or the director. Like, it's a Harrison Ford movie. But in games, nobody knows, it's a Grin game, like nobody fucking cares. Nobody knows. So it goes back to, the title of the game. I mean, it's a Half-Life game. Okay. I like that. I'll buy Half-Life.
It's partly that, but it's also that there's not anything remotely close to the level of we've got this engine, we've got all these assets, and we've got this gameplay mechanic all worked out, and we can basically just make more levels and toss it. I mean, like, making any video game is a huge endeavor, but I mean, there's nothing like that in film to that same extent. Like, you've still got to...
Every
frame you... there's television, exactly. Yeah. It's probably the closest thing.
Yeah.
But,
and the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah, well, in film, it's mainly restricted to like sci-fi and fantasy and like action franchises. But your average is film that's just not from like sort of a nerd genre is not usually turned into like a 10-entry series. I mean, in games, it's pretty much a given. If you have a successful game, you will make a sequel. If your game is successful enough, the publisher will make a sequel. I mean, there's just no there really isn't any way around that.
It's not even that really. I mean. If it's not a success, it won't be a sequel. I mean, there won't be a sequel, rather. I mean, they plan them as a platform, as a franchise.
Exactly.
I mean,
And the guy brings up trilogy, which is one of my... I hate that shit. I hate how fucking everything is a goddamn trilogy now. That's true in, fantasy and sci-fi films. That's true in every game. Before a game's even out, you've got the creative director up there being like, we really want this to be a trilogy. I absolutely hate that shit. I can't stand it.
I have to say that I do slightly forgive games for sequelizing themselves more than films because just what people want is...
Oh, no, I know.
I mean, you get, just more iterated core mechanic is different than watching the second...
I agree. I agree.
I think the real problem with game sequels, though, is that they are just more. And very few of them diverge enough to where it's... Like when we're talking about Moon, we have confidence that he would make a sequel that is not just more Moon, but with a game, it's always just more of that.
Right.
And not even in a mechanic sense. It's also in a thematic sense. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Mass Effect, you're going to use a lot of the same assets.
Use a lot of the same assets.
The actual same textures are going to be used.
The level of risk is just, you could chart it just going down.
I think
down
it's because games are so... poorly understood from business sense, poorly understood from an audience sense. As soon as you get out of a certain very specific core group of people, that stuff is so incredibly poorly understood that it's essentially all companies can do to try to just sort of get any measure of success and go, oh, thank God, let's make 1,000 of these goddamn things. Whereas in film, it's so much easier to just make a film in some genre without an established brand behind it and say, I think we can market this to these people.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do that in games. Yeah. And all of this said, and Jake, I know what you're saying as well in terms of just... Sometimes you just want it. Someone made a cool mechanic and you do just want to play more of it.
Yeah.
But, it is... I think in aggregate, it does kind of frustrate me. And I frequently end up just not playing sequels because...
An example of this for me is... And I don't want to say this as a knock on the game because I'm looking forward to the game and I think it'll still be good. BioShock 2.
Yeah.
I wish that that game didn't have to be set in Rapture. I wish that they could, and maybe that was just what they wanted to do, but I feel like that is what all sequels sort of are wedged into.
You want Bioshock on the moon?
I do want on the moon.
I would fucking love that.
They said that as a joke, like, we'll do the moon base in Bioshock 5.
I know, and I'm like, yeah!
I'm like, do that at 2! Like, why isn't there just that huge, well, like, wah! You know? Yeah.
Wait, they said that? I thought we said that.
No, they that was a joke okay. that was made.
Bioshock 5 on the moon?
In GDC or something, yeah.
Moon shock. Lunar shock.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2.
So... anyway,
back to the moon.
Yeah,
they also went to the moon in Bioshock 3, but they were, you know,
try again.
Yeah, it's moon revenge.
Yeah,
Duncan Jones's Bioshock 5 Moon 2.
Yeah,
God, someone, a lot of game movies are going to run off the road.
Yeah, I know. Well, they're all
they
retarded.
Just announced
they
like
just
10
announced
of them the
like
last
a couple billion of them. Yeah,
yeah, it's
and they all have the most worthless writers behind them.
I know,
or maybe they're actually secretly
there's
good.
There's this one
but
guy who's writing like
3 or 4
films. Of these too.
Yeah, that keeps happening.
Kyle something or whatever.
Yeah,
and I just keep seeing
for some
his name
reason
everywhere.
It seems
and he has
like
no credits to his name. Of course.
Well, there are some that
do
have credit to their name, and they're always
who knows if he's like a genius, but like.
Probably he's not writing that movie if he's a genius.
No.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know, maybe he's separately a genius, but regardless, I don't think that...
Also, even a genius can't write 3 movies concurrently and make them all amazing.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, that's like Grin this year.
Yeah.
Grin,
yeah.
Like, speaking of them, they released like 3 games this year. They've, well, no, I guess 4 if you count Rearmed, but they just released 4 games, 3 of which were total bombs, both critically and commercially.
Yeah.
The Terminator Salvation, the Bionic Commando game, and Wanted, the Wanted game.
Right.
All 3 of those were completely maligned by both, you know, the audience and reviewers. Jesus.
Yeah.
I guess that's what happened. They really just exploded out of nowhere into this really hot studio.
Yeah.
And now, God, they had to have fire a bunch of people recently, too.
Yes, they did.
A lot.
Yeah. Josh Hamm calls back to the hypersonic effect. He says, I picked up Akira on Blu-ray the other day and nearly choked on my drink when I read the precaution about the hypersonic effect in the liner notes.
Yeah.
I'd completely forgotten about that until just then. Thanks, guys. Then he includes a bonus IGN quote. You will spill your beer, IGN.com.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, speaking of that.
Yeah.
Speaking
of beer spilling.
What was the domain? IGN.com.
Oh, man.
Info.biz?
Yeah, someone had a
it's the return of the Idle Thumbs related
like
domain name
situation. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Someone also wrote in to ask us how to forward a domain to idlethumbs.net.
I don't know.
I don't really know how people actually do that. It's probably really easy, but we don't.
If you want to check out
can't you just do that,
the new man? Page, it is IGN.com written out IGN.com.info. It's a false IGN styled homepage, which is just nothing but ridiculous IGN Twitter quotes, like false IGN box quotes and some other links, but it looks pretty good. Looks like IGN. Thanks, El Muerte from the Idle Thumbs forums.
Yeah.
Also, we don't know how to point domain names to other ones because we're actually technologically inept, apparently.
It's true.
Yeah, actually, it's Doug Tobacco, the old Idle Thumbs web admin from 2004, is back to helping us run the site.
He solves all of our problems.
He's a magical man.
He's smarter than us. so here's one of the Command & Conquer questions I was mentioning earlier. So Anonymous writes, Dear Idle Thumbs, I have a story to share with you that was passed on from a war veteran at a bus stop. During the Second World War, there was a metal shortage. In my village and the surrounding area, they dug up the copper cables. They were later replaced with cheaper aluminum cables. Oh, aluminium, he says. This person must be from the UK. I'm informed that this happened a lot, and the copper cables are better conductors for today's internet connections. As a result, our connection in this rural area is very limited. Private companies will not invest in the infrastructure because the cost outweighs potential customers. You claim wireless will be everywhere, but even that's not viable because the closest high-speed access point is miles away, and it will be until wireless technology can span miles of rural England, if ever. I'll be one of those people squatting on the Amazon page for CNC4, giving it a 1 out of 5 rating because they didn't include a server-authorized offline mode. Yours truly, Anonymous. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's fair enough. I mean, there's nothing really we can say.
But you know what, though? I mean, look, the internet.
Oh, man, here comes
the internet. If you think of the internet as a platform, then in the same way that you think of the iPhone as a platform, I think, you know,
the iPhone contains the internet.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you just think about it in that way, I mean, come on. I'm sorry that you can't play that game. It sucks, but
Well, also, I mean, I guess my other response would be to that, what about every multiplayer game ever? I mean, you can complain about the entire concept of multiplayer gaming existing, but it is genuinely unfortunate. Like, I don't know, Nick is a little more callous, I guess, but
I feel bad for the guy, but look, you know, I mean, if you're going to live in the sticks, you know what?
Jesus.
Jeez. No, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, look, I grew up in Michigan. I didn't have a lot of things. Michigan sucks. I didn't have an arcade in Michigan, but I didn't complain that I didn't have such and such arcade game in Michigan. I mean, it's just
the curmudgeon-y old guy who plays adventure games. Apparently,
yeah, here he is.
He also hates everything else.
Yeah.
Are we done?
Another, I don't need to find it necessarily right now because I remember basically what it is, but someone else wrote in also about CNC4 and brought up a counter to Jake's point about this it not needing to be authenticated when you're playing single player. His point is that the whole, according to EA, the entire point of this feature is that your experience is the same experience, the experience that you accrue in single player and multiplayer is part of one persistent system. And so if you're not authenticating when you're in single player, it'd be very easy to simply crack the game in single player mode and send the server a bunch of bullshit data when you do authenticate to the server. So like a trainer or something like that, that levels you up essentially when you're offline. And then when you send that data in, it's been tampered with. That was basically his response. He's saying doing it this way will essentially
you can do illicit things offline and then and then sync that information back up.
Right. Which is basically the way people fuck with servers. I mean, that's the way, you know, that's what people do when they fuck with servers is they have a client that sends the server bullshit information. I mean, that's how people cheat in online games.
Right, but why do you need to have the game running to do that? Why don't you close the game, unplug your network cable, I guess it makes sense because you're always online at all times. Fair enough. I don't know. That I think no matter what is done, someone is going to figure out some way to get around it, and that way will then be patched out. But that is a totally fair point.
I mean, he says that his guess anyway is that he thinks it's doubtful that it'll be something that will be as easily cracked out because that functionality will be built into sort of every interaction. Like,
every step along
the way, the game is expecting to have that going on. So he thinks it would be a more elaborate process to...
I can totally see that. I accept
this is,
that.
This is Jordan Cohen, by the way. I did find the email. Go ahead.
The Ubisoft CEO made about.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
PC piracy.
We have the ultimate PC piracy.
Tremendously
We've got a tool.
Yes, a tool.
A tool that
it's
we
coming
have here.
Maybe at the end of this year.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that's just some kind of always online check.
Yeah, who knows? Also, by the way, the same guy who did write in about this also did have some other opposite opinion. Not opposite, but some other opinions about it. Basically saying, you know, he does...
Looks like an 80s sci-fi cover.
he says... you know, he basically says this is a more severe copy protection scheme than Spore. You know, Spore had the activation limits. He considers this more onerous than that from a certain standpoint because it's something that has to be going all the time.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely the fact that it's always looking at you and is always on is definitely more invasive, but from an end user experience point of view, it is less frustrating.
Yeah.
If you're willing to accept the fact that there's an internet connection watching you play.
Right.
Through your webcam.
Yeah.
Right.
But
yeah, I mean, I know that having
like when this one goes wrong, it's probably equally or more frustrating than the Spore one because you're just fucked forever.
Right.
But when it works, it's got to be infinitely, like, just immeasurably friendlier.
And I guess I just compare it to a multiplayer game because, honestly, it's like I've played so many multiplayer games that do require online authentication and always have that it's like...
At this point, it's different in my mind.
Right, yeah, same here. It's like, I couldn't play any of those games if my internet went down either if I wanted to play them online. I mean, that's just then there's someone else who wrote in. Oh, and the reason I wanted to compare it is because someone else wrote in about Anno 1404 or Dawn of Discovery, which we were talking about.
Yeah.
Because that game actually does have an activation limit. And that actively bothered me way more than any online authentication ever has. Because as soon as I installed it, it's like you've used up one of your three authentications.
Yeah.
And like that, I mean, you know, that's not if
probably
something
will
goes
never
wrong. That's
hit
just,
that limit,
yeah,
but
I
it's
probably
just,
won't
it's
hit
annoying
it, but it's
to know
just,
that
it's irritating,
a
you know? I don't like that it's there. Yeah. It bothers me way more than an online thing does. The same guy asks us also, have any of you played the Wii version of Anno 1404? I haven't, Nick.
No, it just no, it looks kind
it
of...
It didn't look like I'd want to play it.
Yeah.
I've heard some good things about it, but I don't usually play multiple platform versions of the same game. If it's my own game and it's not, I'm not a depressive end, I usually don't bother. I don't think most people do. Oh, Chris McKenna was the person who wrote in about adventure game recommendations. He said he was born in 1990, so he was too young to play, to kind of experience the golden era of adventure games. He runs a site called Copy and Paste Games. So yeah, we addressed that.
Cool.
We're probably way over time here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there cool. was a major topic that we wanted to cover. And
what was there?
Yeah. And I can't,
what was it?
I can't remember what it was.
MMOs?
Like, there's something else.
Shit. Video games?
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, god man. Damn it.
Well,
next week.
Anyway, sorry, Norwegian guy, for not listening to you.
What?
I don't know. Someone from Norway wrote in last week and said, make them less long. And other people wrote in saying, don't listen to that Norwegian guy.
Well,
we didn't.
We didn't. So there.
Also, get a bonus half hour of us talking about poo and donkey dogs.
Bye.
Hey, what was that topic?
Donkey Pox.